Great to be with you guys again, and just always look forward to being with Anthony. He's one of my favorite also. He sparks revelation in my life, and I don't always understand what Anthony says either, but after a while I get something, so it's really good.
It's good.
Tonight I'm going to talk to us about the title of this is Whom Do You Depend? Whom do you depend? Just prophetically, in the season of God, I'm going to say a couple of things that will be things I've said to you before. Because I believe the seasons of God and the earth are very important for bringing about change. I believe that this is the rock, the church here is very cutting edge in the season of what God is doing on planet Earth. There are many places on the earth that are like that, that are like prophetic spear points that break through for things that God has revealed. And if we measure God by the things that God has done, we limit him to what he's done. And he's not limited by what he's done. We're limited in our ability to receive him. So we've only received what we received so far because we can only handle so much. But he's way bigger than we think. He's way better than we think. He's wonderful. And he's revealing things in this season. Now, I believe that the church is in a season where there's a grace being released. And I call it the spirit of knowing, which has to do with intimacy. In the secular arenas, that's seen as an increased knowledge. But in the arenas of the kingdom of heaven, it's seen in an increased measure of knowing, intimacy, where God says, into me see. And you see things in the heart of God that you couldn't see before. You see things in the nature of God you couldn't understand before. And there's something of the community of God that's coming into the communities of the earth. I believe we're about 14 years into a 30-year cycle of a major release of that grace. And I know I've said something like that to you before. You might not remember, but I promise you I've said it because I've believed this for the last 14 years that we're in this measure of grace. And it's where God is bringing his community into the communities of the earth. And I play on English words here. It's a come to unity, not unity that produces something. God does not bless unity. He blesses where the presence of heaven touches the earth and the result is unity. Unity is where everything is different, but it works together. Conformity is where everything is the same, and that means it's dead. Unity is through diversity. Okay, so I believe we're in a season like that. Now, I'm saying this as an introduction because I'm going to drop a verse on you. Now, you have to understand that Greek thought describes objects into relationship to their appearance, whereas Hebrew thought describes objects in relation to their function. So it's very common in Hebrew scripture that you'll find objects that don't fit together saying the same thing. And this is a verse in Psalms 29, verse 9. And depending on the translation you have, one translation says something like this. This is the New King James, which the New American Standard and some others say. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says glory. Which in modern English sounds like the voice of the Lord, wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 and everyone says glory. Because that's about how much we understand of that when we look at that at the surface. Right? Okay, now some translation says the oak bends and strips of its leaves. So the oak and the deer can be translations of that same Hebrew word. Now how in the world do you get an oak and a deer to be the same? Hebrew thought doesn't look at the object. It looks at the characteristic of the object. And so the deer is considered to be the strength of the forest. The oak is also the strength of the forest. So there's something that happens that causes the strength of the forest to yield and something new is birthed. So the deer gives forth her young. The strong births something new and the forest is stripped bare. What you knew in the past, you don't know anymore. What was hidden before is no longer hidden. What was strong is no longer the point. What's new is the point. Okay, so that's why I'm hitting this verse. And I believe that this verse is relevant to the season of God on the earth right now. God is stripping the forest bare and making the deer birth their young. Okay, Charlie Brown language. Wah, 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 wah. That means where you've been strong, promised you, you're not going to be strong anymore. And where things have been hidden, they're not going to be hidden anymore, because God wants to do something new. He wants to bring something new that's relevant to intimacy with Him, the community of God, the spirit of knowing. Okay? All right, now, I've been doing a theme lately, and I'm not preaching this tonight or tomorrow night, but I have to reference it because things that are in my spirit prophetically come out in what I say. And I believe that those are important. I didn't just come to give you a word. I've come to share with you part of the journey where I am at. I don't want to come and give you a word. I want to come and say, a prophetic journey that I'm on with you, what I perceive as a prophet in this season and in this time, I believe is relevant with what you perceive prophetically. What's God saying? What's God saying right now? Lately, I've been doing a series of teachings on faith. But the faith is this. Paul said that the mystery was revealed so that we could be obedient to the faith. Now, church history has communicated to us that faith is a belief system. But faith is not a belief system. Faith is the result of hearing somebody. And faith is always toward a person. It's not toward an object. Faith is not toward a promise. Faith is always toward a promiser. So I'm going to put this in human terms. My wife and I, we've been married 37 years. And I still do acts in her direction that tell her how much I love her. I'm inspired in my heart to do things for her. I'm even inspired today to think about her from my heart. Because I believe her. I believe her. I know her. So I hear her. I can even hear her right now. I hear her right now in the sense of I know she needs to hear from me. So tonight I'm going to call her because I hear her. And so I have faith toward her. This is not sacrilegious or anything. Faith is toward a person. Which if I have faith toward her, then I'm going to do actions toward her. So if I always stay in the place of being committed to her, connected to her, a here I am relationship, then I'm also going to, from my heart, say, I do for you. I live for you. I present my life to say, I love you. Okay, so I have faith toward her. Now, if you lied to me about her, I would know you're lying because I know her. And for 37 years, we've been together. So the more we've been together, the more she's become her, the more I've become me, the more I know who she is, the more she knows who I am. It's called relationship. Yeah? Now, it's the same way with God. God doesn't want us to have faith toward something that He has said. He wants us to have faith toward He, the one who speaks. So He wants us to constantly be in a relationship with Him where we hear Him and we respond to Him. So obedience to the faith is not obedience to something that God did yesterday. It's being inspired from our hearts to live for how we know Him today. And I believe you as the Rock Church are that kind of a place. You're that kind of a place that you're more interested in knowing who He is than what you think He is. You're more interested in having faith toward Him than you are having faith toward something you think He said. There are things that my wife said in times past that I thought she said that she really didn't say. And now that I've been married to her 37 years, I realize that some of the things I thought she said wasn't what she really said. It was simply that I didn't know her in the same level that I know her now. Yeah? So although that sounds a little bit, it's not tough. Yeah? So we're on a journey of having faith toward God. Okay? Now, I'm talking about dependence tonight. In this season, dependence is a huge word. Who do you depend upon? I could have said it, what do you depend upon? But if you depend upon a what, you're in trouble. So it's more accurate to say, who do you depend upon? And I think God in our journey has got people where they would depend upon Him. Now, I know I've referred to this before, you probably won't remember this, but I released the prophetic word September 24th, 2004. I released the word that God was going to remove the headship of legalism and promiscuity, and there was going to be a grassroots revolution on planet Earth. Okay, and when I gave that word, it was on September 24th, 2004. When I released the word, it was at 7:45 p.m. The clock on the wall stopped. My watch stopped. And two other watches stopped. All at the same minute. 7:45 p.m. On the nose. Stopped. Just didn't tick anymore. Okay. And the prophetic word came that God was going to remove the headship of promiscuity and legalism. And that he was going to bring a grassroots revolution that would reveal the speech of the Lord, the speaking of the Lord, and the speaking of the word of the Lord. Okay? And then after that, there was a tsunami in Indonesia, and all the old covenant prophets were screaming out of God was judging the Indonesian area because of all the pagan gods that they have there. And God told me, listen closely, son, listen very closely. And so I listened for the still small voice. And this is what I heard. 30-some nations, 35 nations or so, responded with passion and compassion. Unprecedented at any time in history was the level of response to that crisis. Ever since December of 2004, every crisis that's happened on planet Earth has had an unprecedented level of response by human beings with passion and compassion. And God said, that's my speech. That's my speech. My speech is passion and compassion. My speech is not judgment and condemnation. My speech is passion and compassion. And I'm speaking through the saved and the unsaved in your terms. I'm speaking through humanity, the speech of God. And I wanted to remove the headship of legalism and promiscuity. Legalism, nothing goes. Promiscuity, anything goes. And then I asked God, well, I have to say one more thing. The next morning, all the clocks were fixed. The watches were ticking. The battery had been changed in the clock. And at 9:45 a.m., the anointing came in the room, and the same thing happened. And all four timepieces stopped at 9:45 a.m. So 2 days in a row, the four timepieces stopped. It got my attention. You might think, well, that's crazy. Even in coincidence, that's beyond crazy. You've had a better chance of winning all the lotteries in the states of America than four timepieces stopped in the same minute 2 days in a row. So I said, okay, what is this? And God directed me to the story of when Joshua was in the battle and the Amorite kings came up against the Gibeonites, and he went out to deal with the battles after the battle of Ai. And he took the five kings of the Amorite kings, and they were hidden in a cave, and he put a rock over the entrance of the cave, and he called for the sun to stop, and God responded to Joshua's word, and he stopped the sun and he stopped the moon for a day. He says that God heeded the words of a man. He listened to Joshua's words and he stopped the sun, he stopped the moon for a day. The battle was over. When the battle was over, Joshua came and he unrolled the stone and he told the heads of the tribes to come and to put their feet, the next generation, he said, come and put your feet on the necks of these kings. Okay, now, I believe those kings represented kings of bitterness. They represented things that hold people to the past. Now, time is what holds you to the past. Time, the only place you can be bitter is in time. If there is no time, there's no root for bitterness. Because time resides in what happened, what you think happened, what you think should have happened, what you hope to happen. It's all time-based, and whether it's promiscuity or legalism, both of those come from the same bitter root of time. Okay? So I'm setting this introduction. Now we're coming into the Word. Okay? So who do you depend upon? I believe it's important right now that we come to a place of true righteousness. And righteousness has nothing to do with being right. It is a question. Who do you depend upon? Who you depend upon determines your righteousness. Your ability to be right does not determine your righteousness. Who do you depend upon? Okay? Now, look at me at John chapter 9. We're going to look at a story, but let's look at a verse that is kind of like the climax of the chapter, the point of the whole chapter, and then we're going to look at the chapter. So let's go to verse 39 of John chapter 9. And it says in verse 39, and Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Now we know in John 3:16-17, it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He didn't come to condemn the world, but he came that the world through him might be saved. So he didn't come to judge the world, to condemn the world. Okay? But he came to judge something. He says, for judgment I've come into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Now the story in this chapter is going to be about a blind man who gets healed, and about religious people who are all upset that a blind man got healed. So you have a man who couldn't see, who experiences something that was the reason Jesus came, and you have people who could see that also were given the option of receiving the same reason that Jesus came. Jesus came so that those who don't see will see, and that those who see won't see. Okay? He came so that you would be dependent upon the right person. He came to make a judgment so that you could depend on him. So let's go to the story. Go back to verse 1. So in this story, we're going to see this. Now, make a few statements coming into this. Whatever controls your life controls your future. Whatever controls your life controls your future. Okay, whenever something from your past controls your future, you're bound to the past. Whenever something of your past controls your future, you're bound to the past. If you know all things, then what you know determines your future. If you don't know, then something beyond what you know can determine your future. Ooh, that's good stuff there. Listen to that again. If you know all things, what you know determines your future. So how's that working for you? If you don't know, then something beyond what you know can determine your future. We're to this question, who do you depend upon? Do you depend upon what you know, or do you depend upon someone who knows more than you? Now, that someone who knows more than you has said things that you have heard, and you think they mean certain things. But you have to remember that it's not your ability to depend upon what he said, because you don't really know what he said, because you don't know him fully. And if you depend upon what he said, at some point, he's going to say something to you that's going to offend what you think he said to you. So, first one of chapter 9. Let's read the story. Okay. Now, Jesus passed by, and he saw a man who was blind from birth. So his past was blindness. His disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? See, these guys, their paradigm is the knowledge of good and evil. Someone had to have done something wrong for him to be blind, because to be blind is bad. To be blind is something's wrong with you. Okay, so they had the only way they could filter that through their mindset, if he's blind, then he did something, or somebody else did something for him to be blind, because being blind is bad. Okay. Now, Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Nobody did anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. Parents didn't do anything wrong. But for the work of God should be revealed in him. Now, we're going to see in the story that he gives the blind man sight. But I'm going to propose to you that the work of God was not giving the blind man sight. The work of God was revealing to the blind man who did he depend upon. I'm going to tell you right now, whatever is happening in your life, it's for the glory of God. But the glory of God is not the miracle of a healing, although he may do healing. The glory of God is not the healing. The glory of God is, who do you depend upon? Are you the blind that depend upon him because you can see? Or are you the ones who see who need to realize that you need to be blind so that you can depend upon him? Because he came for this reason, that human beings would depend upon him. He came so that the blind would see and those who see would not see. He came so that we could have a revelation of righteousness. Okay? Now, I believe that the blind man was born blind for the glory of God. Now, I used to think he was born blind so that one day he could receive sight and that would be glory to God. But I think he was bringing glory to God while he was still blind. I describe paradise as a place where nothing works without God. Then I could also say it's a place where everything works with God. The difference between heaven and hell is who lives there. When God moves into the realm of the dead, it's no longer the realm of the dead. Now, I don't believe that God lives in the realm of the dead, but he lives with those who live with him, and when they go to the realm of the dead, he goes there. Now, so he said, neither of them sin. So as long as he says, I must do the works of him who sent me while it's day, the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he said these things, he spat on the ground. Now picture this. This blind man, he's blind all his life. Okay, now, he can't see who it is who's talking to him. And Jesus comes up to him. The blind man's probably heard that sound before. The blind man probably had that experience before, but the last time it was somebody who spit on him because he was blind. Because he's a sinner. So he probably heard the sound of shame. And then Jesus took mud, he took dirt, and he put it in the man's eyes. So now the man can't see what Jesus did. He hears and he feels it. Now everyone else can see it. Now I'm going to say that we're in a season of time where God is allowing you to hear the sounds of the past. He's allowing you to hear things that you've heard yesterday. He's allowing humanity to hear what they've heard yesterday, but not for the sake of them being afraid of it, but because he wants to free them from it. And sometimes when you hear that sound and other people look, what they do is they see mud in your eyes. And so they know in their mind that you're unclean. There's something wrong with you. Not only were you blind, but now look at you. Got crap in your eyes. And so when you go through life, you get mud in your eyes. Like the blind man. I've had a few of those seasons. Okay? Now, your future is dependent upon what you depend upon in the present. Your future is determined by what you depend upon, by who you depend upon right now. Your future can be determined by your past, that it results in your past. But to get the future that God wants, you have to depend upon God to get that future. Now this blind man had to depend upon someone he could not see, someone he'd never heard before, and someone he had never thought about. So he had to be in a place of knowing no answers. Knowing no answers was the place of determining his future. Having no, not understanding anything was the point of determining his sight. He couldn't say, well, why do you want to do this? Why are you spitting on me? What's this mud about? Well, go to the. Then he tells him, he says, well, look at it. Let's read the verses here. He says, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground, he made clay with his spit, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. I bet it didn't feel like anointing. And then he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which translated means sent. Go, go wash in the scent waters. The Pool of Siloam was where they would draw water on the last day, the great day of the feast, and they would pour it out on the offering as a reminder of the water that came from the rock. So he said, go find the Pool of Siloam. Now, he's blind. He's got to go to the Pool of Siloam. I wonder if anybody saw it. Probably had to ask for some help. He might have had to ask for some directions. A guy with mud in his eye. So he's in a place of total dependence. He's dependent upon others to find the pool. He's dependent upon someone he doesn't know. He's never heard. He's never seen. He's never thought of before. He's dependent on total, no answers. He's got no answers, but he's depending upon what he doesn't understand for his future. Okay? And then it says, therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind, that he went, he washed, he came back seeing. He came back with his sight. So the neighbors and those previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. Now they're trying to determine what happened based upon the past. Rather than believing the present, they're wrestling with the past. Those neighbors. They're wrestling with, this is the guy who was born blind. No, maybe that was somebody else. This isn't real. So that they're trying to relate to the present based on the past. Instead of attaching to a man of the future, they're attaching to the experiences of the past. Okay? And so they said to him, some said he's he, others said he's like him. And he said, I'm he, I'm the guy. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes open? He answered, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, said to me, go to the Pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I'm proposing to you that the season right now that we're in is not a season of answers as much as it is a season of questions. It's a season of, I don't know. More than it is a season of knowing. And trusting the one who knows. Okay? So he says, I don't know. And they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. And now it was Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Uh-oh. And the Pharisees also asked him, again, how he received his sight. He said to them, he put clay in my eyes, I washed, and I see. Hey, how did you see that? Well, he put mud in my eyes, I washed, and I see. See, that's real easy. He put mud in my eyes, I washed, and now I see. Okay? Now, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Now, what's the problem? They're measuring the present experience with their perceptions of the past. Now, let me give you a few points before we read any more verses. Okay. Now, in the process, this guy has got mud in his eyes. He washes in the pool. So, things seemingly placed upon you by God are not shameful. Who put the mud in his eyes? Jesus. Things seemingly placed upon you by God are not shameful, but they are rather the testimonies of your dependence upon Him. How was the man born blind? He just was. He just was. Well, how did that happen? He just was. He was born blind. Now, I'm going to propose that every one of us were born with it just was. Okay? And I know in this house, you know the difference between iniquity, transgression, and sin. That iniquity is a propensity that leads to transgression, that results in sin. But iniquity is not sin. Iniquity is a... it just was. I define it as a weakness. It's a mark of dependency. My iniquity is my point of connection with God. My weakness, my seemingly flaw, is the point of my dependency upon God. I was flawed for His glory, so that I would find Him, so that I would know Him, so that I would depend upon Him. Okay? It's when you begin to know too much that now your iniquity is you know too much. And your place of dependency now is not knowing what you know. So what's the difference? What's the difference between a weakness that makes me need to depend upon God or a strength that makes me need to depend upon God? So God neither measures those with a weakness or those with a strength. He doesn't measure them as different. He measures them as the same. And He came for judgment so that those who are blind will see and those who see would be blind. He wants us to know Him. Okay. Now, the blind man, he was able to receive grace because he put himself under Jesus. He put himself under someone he'd never seen, he'd never heard, he'd never thought before. Now, wherever you put yourself under, that's what you're going to hear. That's what you're going to depend upon, whatever you put yourself under. Now, the Pharisees, they couldn't see who Jesus was because they depended upon their past understanding of God more than their present experience with Him. Their past understanding of God was more important to them than their present experience with Him. God was talking to them face to face. He came into their village and gave sight to the blind man. He came in the form of Jesus Christ. He came in human form, God in flesh, and it was an experience, a now experience of God, but their past understanding of God was more important to them than their present experience. This is very important for the season that we're in as the church. We're in a season where we have to realize that our past experiences are going to be hindrances to the present. Our past perceptions are going to be a hindrance to the present experiences of God. And I believe that the present experiences of God are about to rock the world. Okay, now, it says, the Jews did not believe concerning him. Well, actually, let's go back to verse 16. It says, therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. That's their past perception of what God requires. So he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? Now, what determined their judgment that he was a sinner? What determined their judgment was he was a sinner is he didn't fit their past perceptions. Because he was breaking the mold of past perceptions, then he has to be a sinner. Anytime I measure my present by my past, I'm in danger of my future. I'm in danger of not seeing God today if I measure God today by what I perceived Him to be yesterday. I'm going to show you in a moment that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the thief can be your past perceptions. Okay. So they said to the blind man, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he's a prophet. The Jews did not believe concerning him, and he had been blind, received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son whom you say was blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered and said, we know this is our son. How do they know that? From the past. Okay? And we know that he was born blind. How do they know that? From the past. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Now, they should have known because he told them, but couldn't believe him because their past was preventing them from experiencing the present. Now, he goes on to explain that because this is, who opened his eyes? We don't know. He's of age. Ask him. He'll speak for himself. Now, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he'd be put out from their synagogue. So, in other words, if they were willing to receive the present, they too would have to forsake their past. So they were afraid. We're going to lose our old system. We're going to lose the past if we receive the present. So ask him. Okay? His parents said these things because they were feared the Jews. Okay? And then verse 23, therefore the parents said, he's of age, ask him. So they called the man who was blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and he said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. This guy's got some great answers. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, and that was, I was blind, but now I see. Now, see, he's not depending upon what he knows. He's depending upon the man who made him see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He said, I told you already. And you didn't listen. They couldn't hear because they were dependent upon their past perceptions of God. And then he says, why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Great questions. And they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he's from. So now they're depending upon their past revelation of God. And they're confessing that their past revelation of God proves that the present experience with God is not real. When they should have realized their present experience with God would finally give clarity to truly understand their past perceptions of God. Because they really weren't believing Moses by holding on to it. They were believing something that Moses said. Okay? Then man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you don't know where he's from, yet he's opened my eyes. Wow, this is awesome. You don't have a clue where he's from, and he's opened my eyes. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone's a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it's been unheard that anyone opens the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered and they said to them, you were completely born in sin. Are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Now the old system couldn't receive the present experience. So therefore, rather than receiving the present experience, they ejected the future. Okay? Now Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, when Jesus had found the guy, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? See, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything. He just knows that he's dependent on somebody. Now, so then Jesus said to him, he says, you've both seen him, and it's he who's talking with you. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now, he depended upon, this blind man depended on Jesus because he had a revelation of love. He had a revelation of how much God cared. He didn't have a revelation about how much he knew. He had a revelation of how good God was. And so his sight was actually now his point of dependency. Before, his blindness was a point of dependency. He was dependent upon people. He was dependent upon a stick. He was dependent upon begging. He was dependent upon, feeling his way around. He was dependent upon many things. And in essence, he was dependent upon God, but he didn't really know who it was that he was dependent upon. Until the love of God broke through in his life, and he could finally see the love of God in his life, and and it was by a revelation of his heart that he depended upon God because he could see. God wants to bring us all to that place, the place of the blind man, where we depend upon God because of what we can see. But we also have to recognize there's a bit in us that's like the Pharisee. There's a bit in us that sees too much. Now, I believe that Jesus was presenting an opportunity to both. I believe that God was presenting an opportunity to both the one who couldn't see and to those who could see, so that they would both have the same answer, depend on me. He was trying to break into their world, but they didn't want God to break into their world. Now, I'm sharing this message because I believe that you're part of a culture that is this kind of a culture that's trying to break into the world. God is doing something on planet Earth. He's wanting to love humans more than humans want to be loved. He's freeing humanity, bringing the communion of Him into the communities of the earth. The boundaries of the church are not in the walls of confinement, but it's in the salt and the leaven that's filling the communities of society. That the kingdom of God is trying to wake up the nations to depend upon the one who is, neither measures them by being right, nor does He measure them by being wrong. And He's removing the headships of promiscuity and legalism to declare that I'm freeing you from the things of the past. I'm freeing you from the bitter roots that have been measured in time that prevent you from finding true life, a place where paradise is, where everything works with me, and where nothing works without me. Too many people trying to get out of circumstances. And God says, would you please move over? I'd like to get in. Too many people wanting to get out of here, and God's trying to get in to your neighborhood. Yeah? So now, then Jesus said, in verse 39, Jesus said, for judgment have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. In other words, those who do not see will finally see, and those who see will be made so they don't see. That's good news for both. Neither half of that equation is bad news. Because if you know, He wants to make it so that you don't know. And if you don't know, He wants to make it so that you do know. But not knowing the answers is knowing Him, dependence on Him. This is a huge issue of obedience to the faith toward God. Part of the equation is depending on Him. Do we depend on Him more than we depend upon our past perceptions of Him? Do we depend upon Him more than we depend upon our past experiences? Do we depend on Him more than we depend upon our past successes? Do we depend upon Him more than we depend upon our past failures? Do we see Him? And can we say we don't see Him? Some of the Pharisees who were with Him heard these words, and they said to Him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. Whoa. Gosh. I think having a sin is a good thing. Because having sin makes me dependent on Him. Not to be right, but to know who I really am. Because you see, sin is not who I really am. It's a trap. It's what causes me to become something I'm not. He didn't free me from being a sinner so that I would be free from being a sinner. He freed me to being a son so that I would depend upon Him even in my sinful moments, my missing the mark moments. Okay, we go on, since there's no chapter division here, I'm going to go on in the story. He goes on, he says, most assuredly I say to you, now who's the you, who's the pronoun you here? He just said, the Pharisee said, Am I blind also? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But you say you see, therefore your sins remain. Most assuredly I say to you. So who's the pronoun you here? It's the Pharisees. Okay? He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his sheep, own sheep, by name, and he leads them out. Knows who they are. He brings out his own sheep. He goes before them. Sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That they by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, these were people who were prevented from going to the future because they were bound to their past. Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. He didn't say the devil was the thief and the robber, although I can say he is. He's not talking about the devil here. He's talking about all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. Okay? So now, those who came before him were the past. Okay? Everything that came before him, I'm going to show you in a moment what came before him. The law and the prophets came before him. Okay? But in reality, for every human being, all who came before him were thieves and robbers and destroyers. So the thief, the robber, the destroyer is your past reality, your past perception, your past experience, your past understandings. They can all prove to be thieves. My past, what I know about God in the past can be a thief, can be a killer. It can steal my future, kill my future, destroy my future. The good things that I know from the past can rob me of my future. They can kill my future. They can destroy my future. So what determines my future is the door. The door to the future is now. And the door to the future is a relationship with a person. Faith toward a person. Dependency upon a person. Dependency upon God is the key to my future. Not dependency upon what I've learned about God. The enemy of the principality, Christ, can often be the principles of Christ. Because if I hold on to what I perceive to be the principles of Christ, stronger than what I receive to be an encounter with the principality Christ. I'm not talking about a principality being a devil or darkness. I'm talking about the prince of all princes, the king of kings, the Lord of lords, the lover of my soul. I'm talking about the giver of life. When I encounter him, and I promise you, your encounter with God in the present is going to be an offense to your experience in the past. My present encounter. I'm on a journey. 3 years ago I transitioned to church to my son, and I'm now in a new role, and I can promise you, I know what I'm talking about when I say that the present encounters of God are an offense to the past experiences that I've had. And it makes me dependent on God. That's where God has us. He wants us. Here we are in this room. We're men. Yeah? So what's the number one thing of men? If we're going to be leaders, if we're going to be influencers, if we're going to be heads of houses, that doesn't mean we control anything. That means we excel in being those who are dependent upon Him. were those who realized that we were blind, but now we see. And we depend upon Him because now we see. We realize that we did see, but we didn't realize that we needed to be blind. What we could see, we can't see anymore. Because we depend on Him. And those who depend upon Him receive life. And life more abundant. It's not based on experiences of the past. Now, in the case of the story of Jesus and the blind man, I believe that the thief was the law and the perception of God in the past. Look with me in another scripture in Luke 16, verse 16. It said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone's pressing into it. So there was an experience in the time of Jesus where the kingdom of God had come into the midst of humanity, whereas prior, the kingdom of God was revealed through a kingdom of a nation. In a system of the knowledge of good and evil, a system that was not God's choice but man's election, in a system of the knowledge, how much do you know about good? How much do you know about evil so that you can choose good? That was the government of humanity. Jesus came to destroy that government so that human beings would no longer be bound to a knowledge of good and a knowledge of evil, but they would be intimate with the one who is good, and they would know who they are, and therefore they too would become everything that is life and life-giving, and they would live from purpose, no longer from need. They would live from destiny, no longer from distraction. They would live from the heart as children of God. All human beings, He wants us to live from the passion of who we are. So the law of the prophets were until John. But since that time, the kingdom of God was preached and people were pressing into it. And then He says, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Whoever divorces his wife, marries another, commits adultery. Whoever marries her who's divorced from her husband commits adultery. Jesus, are you a schizophrenic? What in the world are you talking about? He's talking about the same subject here. He's saying it would be easier to let the whole flipping system go than to try to hold on to one little piece of it. Because if you try to hold on to law, if you try to hold on to what the prophets were, if you try to hold on to your past, you're going to commit adultery if you try to grab on to the future. You'd be better off to recognize it's dead. It's finished. Let go. Paul confirmed it in Romans 7, 1-4, when he talked about a man and a woman. I'll just read it. He wasn't talking about marriage. He was talking about grace and law. And in Romans, oops, let me go back. I don't have a link. I'll just read it real quick. In Romans chapter 7, verse 1, I think Paul's a greatly misunderstood guy. I think he's a huge grace guy that's been judged as a law guy. Do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound to the law, to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another, she will be called an adulteress. For if her husband dies, she's free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that you should bear the fruit of God. In other words, the past is dead. Marry the future. The law is dead. Marry Christ. Marry grace. Come into this place of dependency upon God. Not dependent upon what you know or what you don't know. The blind man was dependent upon what he couldn't see. The Pharisee thought he was dependent upon what they could see. Jesus came so the blind man would finally be dependent upon what he could see, not what he couldn't see. He came so that the ones who could see would be finally dependent upon what they couldn't see. God wants us to be dependent upon Him. Because He wants to give us life and life more abundant. But the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That which was formed of the law of the prophets, apart from grace, are thieves. The letter of the law kills. It'll destroy. It'll rob you of your future. There's a huge wrestle in the earth right now, in humanity, in what has been termed so often as Christianity, which is not even the real deal. The real deal is Christ in humanity. There's a wrestle going on. Right now there are things going on in societies that much of the church is screaming out and saying it's sin. But what it is God is stripping the forest bare. He's revealing what's real. He's showing what's real. And he wants the strong to give birth. He wants the surface of what we've depended upon so that we'll depend upon Him. He's not saying there are things that are that anything goes, nor is He saying nothing goes. He's saying promiscuity and legalism come from the same root. They're rooted in the bitterness of time. And He wants to free us to come into the future. I believe that you're such a place that's cutting edge in that. So I promise you that the things that your present encounters with God are going to be an offense to your experience, your perceived perceptions and your experiences of the past. I think I say this myself, you know, I'm thinking, well, yeah, that's great. Don't preach a word. I'm being dependent. That ought to be good. And then I'm going to walk away and I'm going to have to be dependent on tomorrow. And the present experience with God, there are things that I don't believe God should do, and He does. There are people that God loves that I don't think He should, and He does. There are places He pours out His Holy Spirit that I think He shouldn't, and He does. And watch and see, He's going to. Because we're in a time when the community of heaven is breaking into the communities of the earth in an unprecedented measure. And the speech of the Lord, His passion, His compassion is coming. And even the speaking of the Lord, where those who don't even know Him start saying what He says, like a donkey speaks. And the speaking of the word of the Lord, where it begins to become fleshed out in humanity, not in a structure called Christianity, but it begins to be fleshed out in bodily form. So, you know, it's a house that loves a revelation, not a command. Yeah? The old covenant was a command. Love God, love people. You were living under that command, stop it. I think you stopped that already. It's based on a revelation. Love one another even as He has loved you. It's a sandwich. Love one another. You know how much He loves you, and you'll know who you are, and you'll know who everyone else is, and you'll start living differently because you'll act according to who you are. But it all comes back to depending on Him. How can I know how much He loves me unless I depend on Him more than I depend on memorizing what He has said? I have made it in the last few years, as I've transitioned, I'm in my next chapter, and I've made a series of what I think are mistakes. But I don't think they're mistakes at all. I think I've made a series of stumbles to make sure that I know I'm dependent upon Him. And I want to encourage you that in your journey, wherever you're at, right now, He wants you to understand that your life is a wonderful life. Your life is a wonderful place for His amazing grace, for His abundant measure. You were born for the glory of God. And He wants the strong to bend. He wants the deer to birth young. He wants the forest to be stripped bare so that in His true house, His true place of habitation, everybody shouts, glory. It's humanity. Are we dependent upon Him more than we're dependent upon what we think He has said? Well, I hope this is making sense to you. Things that you know, forgiveness leads to repentance. Reconciliation leads to understanding. Belonging leads to believing. Belonging leads to becoming. Purpose leads to passion. Having a father makes you a son. It's not the other way around on any of those. And so I just really believe that it's a fresh season of Jesus has come to make it so that those who don't see can see, and those who see will be blind. And in both cases, it's good news. So what in me needs to be blind, and what in me needs to see? Where am I dependent upon not seeing? That's where I need to see Him. And where am I dependent upon seeing? That's where I need to not see, to see Him. Amen? That's what I thought to share tonight. And I believe it's relevant to where you're at, because I know in the Spirit where we are as a church. And I know in the Spirit where you are as a church. And I believe that we're going to see, you know, we're going to see more miraculous things. I believe that we should believe for that. But miracles are not a sign of the new covenant. They're just a sign that God's present. Miracles always happen when God's present. It's interesting that two things that are new covenant expressions that weren't in the old covenant are tongues, which has to do with not knowing, and deliverance. Two things. The old covenant, we raised the dead, we healed the sick, we multiplied bread, we did miracles, but we didn't change the heart. And we didn't have the ability to be free from the past. We didn't have the ability to have the gift of embracing not knowing the future. Even that simple, I'm saying I'm happy with not knowing so that I can know. Okay, I'm happy with embracing that simple relationship of depending upon Him in all things, so that I can love Him with all my heart. I can love Him with all my soul. I can love Him with all my strength. Not because He commands me to, but because my spirit, my soul, my life, for the glory of Him. And He's come to give life, and that life more abundantly.